You're not in the industry. You don't sell this for a living.
I walked into this meeting pretty skeptical. I found really bad sources online. Don't smoke, don't drink, and don't buy permanent life insurance. This is kind of where the conversation of whole life insurance goes off the rails.
Are you familiar with the volatility buffer concept of life insurance and retirement?
100%. I've actually read Wade Pao and his work that he's done.
You've read more than most people in our space. Congrats. Like, you deserve a trophy for that. Why life insurance versus high yield savings account?
You can't just funnel all of your money into these assets that go up and down all the time. You need to have that base that you can live your life on.
Do you envision using your policy to invest in other deals or businesses?
Absolutely. I'm not risk adverse. I do take very targeted high risk plays. I'm able to do that because I have this safety net. It was also super simple to access, wire the money out in a couple hours. It was in my bank account.
Hey guys, I got Chris from Cleveland on the line with me. And what's really cool, there's a first for everything. And this is just a shout out to anyone that's commenting on YouTube. If you want to be on the show and just talk to me, I'm available. Chris, you commented 2 weeks ago on a video that I did reacting to the Money Guy show talking about infinite banking. And what really hit me with your comment is you're not in the industry. You don't sell this for a living. You are an entrepreneur, and we'll get into what you do in a second, but you were very, very thoughtful in your comment. And I was like, man, this guy knows quite a bit. I bet this guy practices. And so I just responded back and said, hey, if you want to come on the show and talk, I would love to, have a conversation. I think everyone benefits when we can have talks and conversations. And you actually followed up. I've reached out to a couple of people, and you were the first person to say, yeah, I'm in. And with that, you're here. So you have zero expectations. I have zero expectations. But I do correct. Believe that the more conversations we can have, the better. And I'm here to answer any questions, but I'm mainly here to hear your experience through what some people call infinite banking, whole life insurance. And with that, if you just want to give a little bit of introduction to who you are, and we can jump in.
Yeah, no, thanks, Caleb. And yeah, it's fun to be here. Like you said, I kind of came into this with zero expectations as well. But I thought it'd be fun because I have had fun with this topic. I've always had a lifelong interest in personal finance. And I've kind of taken a bit of a circular journey with that. But yeah, you're the comment that we're talking about, I know, I've always just been fascinated on whole life insurance specifically because, I think you guys have a hard time selling the product, I think, in certain situations. And I think, sometimes there's certain agents that maybe aren't educated themselves on how these policies work. And I think other times you're trying to explain things to a consumer in a way that they can identify with or understand.
I'm excited to hear just your journey about how you got introduced to whole life insurance. Like, by the way, the people watching this will appreciate you, but majority of YouTube thinks you're a weirdo. Like, you find interest in this, but I can appreciate it. I think people that watch this channel will appreciate the journey that you've gone on. Real quick, how long, like, what do you do for business? And then how long have you been, doing some type of life insurance for your own self?
So, yeah. So what I do for a living, I actually own a manufacturer's rep business. So we sell industrial plastics into a number of different industries and applications. But yeah, so as far as my journey with life insurance, whole life insurance, when I was growing up, like I said, I've always had a deep interest in personal finance, and I kind of came from that sort of invest first mindset. Funnel as much money into your investments, funnel as much money as you can into your 401k, IRAs. Set up that 3 to 6 month emergency fund. And, as I got into adulthood and, started seeing the list of things that you need to finance throughout your life, whether, it's your first car, whether it's your kids' college, whether, it's your house down payment, whether, all these things, come up. How do you safely and securely with control set up your financial life so that you can, finance those things without, taking on risk, without, having to, get yourself too risk heavy and be able to live your life with more control. So I started, you know, really accumulating a lot of cash once I started owning a business, because I already had a lot of risk on my plate from owning a business. And I was put in touch with a life insurance agent through my business coach. And, you know, when I was growing up, you know, with that sort of investor first, you know, mindset, you know, there was basically, you know, a couple, you know, rules, you know, don't smoke, don't drink, and don't buy permanent life insurance, you know.
Same. Yeah.
It was,
Yep.
you know, I mean, that was, it was basically, you know, so I, you know, I walked into this meeting pretty skeptical that, you know, this is this, I'm just being sold, you know, yeah, I'm whatever they say, I'm paying for somebody's Ferrari and, you know,
Yep.
all that kind of stuff. And I, you know, luckily my agent, you know, was very transparent and very, you know, knowledgeable on the topic. And, you know, I wanted to be open to the concept that maybe there was something I was missing here, right? So I was shown a few different policy designs, and, you know, went and then immediately kind of went online and dove, you know, straight into the topic, because, you know, I'm not the type of person that's going to put in all this capital into a product without really understanding the nuts and bolts of how it works. So, you know, I found your podcast, and I found, you know, a number of other, you know, I think great sources, a number of really bad sources online. You know, I read Nelson Nash, and, you know, did kind of took that whole journey and kind of took everything in. And then, yeah, dove right in. So this was actually beginning, it wasn't too long ago, it was about beginning of 2021 that I started my policies, and I've added a couple policies to it since then. And yeah, it's done all the things that I expected more.
What was the initial epiphany that you had when you were, because I bet you came in with very skeptical, but you had the meeting for a reason. What did your business coach say for that? And then what was the reason that you were willing to do research? Because again, I grew up actually listening to Dave Ramsey, and I had this perception of life insurance as a terrible place. And so I feel like I went on this extra long journey, because not only was it, am I going to buy some, but I'm actually going to represent and be a part of the quote unquote problem. It was like an extra burden that I had to really get through. And so what for you, why did you have the meeting in the first place? And what did the initial reasons why you wanted to go deeper to discover if life insurance is pro or con for you?
Yeah. So, you know, when I acquired my business, I you know, wanted to first get some different perspectives on my financial picture. You know, I'd always been, you know, pretty well educated on finances in general, but I kind of felt like, you know, it was time that maybe I just got some, you know, just some different perspectives on the topic. You know, primarily I was interested in tax savings. You know, I was interested in having, you know, as my income was rising, you know, I that was something I was definitely concerned about and wanted to, you know, maybe get a different perspective on. But, you know, I think the epiphany, you know, came, you know, around that whole idea. And I think this is kind of where the conversation of whole life insurance goes off the rails, because whenever I see these discussions going online, it's never usually about whole life insurance, or at least I don't think that's what the core thing is about. It's about having cash or having a cash like instrument. And that's where I think, you know, whether it's, you know, Dave Ramsey or everything, it's the amount of cash and safe capital that people have is really where this debate is, you know. And and yeah, I mean, you know, whole life insurance is not going to get you investment like return. It's not going to, you know, make you wealthy. But I have found that having a large cash position, much larger than the 3 to 6 months that, you know, is typically talked about, makes me a much better investor. And I'm not risk adverse. I mean, I own a business. Another hobby of mine is cryptocurrency. You know, I do take very, you know, targeted, you know, high risk plays. But I feel I'm able to do that because I have this safety net.
Yep. Are you familiar with the volatility buffer concept of life insurance and retirement?
100%. Yeah. Yeah. I've actually read Wade Pao and his work that he's done. He's actually a really great a great expert on that topic.
You've actually read Wade Fowle's book cover to cover?
Not cover to cover, but I've read some of his essays.
It's amazing. Yeah. You've read more than most people in our space. Congrats. Like, you deserve a trophy for that. But so volatility buffer, hear me out. Volatility buffer, for those watching, are saying, like, you could actually look at life insurance as like a bond alternative, and a portion of your portfolio in the future could be in life insurance. And what that could do is, if and when there's volatility in your portfolio, you could let your portfolio recover instead of taking money out and, you know, tap into your life insurance policy. And as a result, giving 4 to 5 years of volatility buffer just increases your ability to take out more in retirement without your chance of loss or losing all your money. And so that's the layman's term of what a volatility buffer is. In as a business owner, I believe every single business owner should have their own volatility buffer. And you're actually doing it as well, as you're taking risk. And if we looked at your whole financial system, I bet your business is the greatest source of cash flow, period.
Oh, for sure.
So your business is creating a ton of cash flow. You have probably other things that are creating cash flow. And life insurance is like that foundation that not only is it a portion of it going to be amazing for the future and give you options, but you're essentially taking a part of your future retirement portfolio and creating volatility in your current cash flow, but also financing other investments. That's exactly what I do. I own multiple businesses, and if you looked at my quote unquote portfolio, I have safe money, which is life insurance and cash and savings. And then I have lots of other investments that are risky. They're not as risky because I have experience, I have relationships and all, but I would only be able to make certain moves because I have years of reserve over here, but also the years worth of reserve are also financing other opportunities. And so what you're doing and I'm doing are actually very similar, and you're using the volatility buffer while you're in business, and you're actually able to get greater returns and make greater moves because you have that in your life.
Absolutely. And you know, I actually haven't even taken out a policy loan yet. And I knew going in that, you know, I wasn't setting up my policy so I could, you know, get, you know, immediately, you know, pay my premium and then get the 90% out and, you know, go invest in real estate or that kind. That wasn't a goal of mine. I understand it's a goal of some people's. It wasn't a mine. You know, the way I've kind of tried to set up my policies is, you know, I want to, and just kind of like we're talking about that volatility buffer, you know, I want to be in risk assets. I want to grow my money over the time, but I also want to have a substantial cash position, you know, maybe, you know, 20, 30% of my overall portfolio. And that as I go up, you know, hopefully that goes up as I near retirement. So I very much treat my policies, just like you're describing, as kind of that long-term bond exposure, in a tax-free shell that you know, I feel I need as part of my portfolio.
It's amazing. What when you do take a policy loan, are you going to do a third party like bank and collateralize it, or are you going to go right to the insurance company, or have you not decided yet?
Well, you know, it's funny. So you know, while I haven't taken out a direct policy loan, so I was in the midst of building a house last year, right? And yeah, obviously kind of a cash flow intensive endeavor. Yeah. And there was a couple months where, yeah, I needed to kind of supplement the cash flow. So even though I didn't take a policy loan, I did leverage it in the sense that I, you know, also had my brokerage account that I actually had at the time a very low margin rate on. So, you know, and it was also super simple to access. You know, I mean, it was basically I could just get the, you know, wire the money out in a couple hours and, you know, it was in my bank account. So kind of the combination of, you know, the little bit of a lower rate, but more of just the easiness. I'm kind of a lazy guy when it comes to that. If something's a little easier to do in the short term, I'll run and do it. So yeah, I mean, I took out a margin loan to, you know, kind of cover that cash. And I could have, you know, and people can do any number of things. You can take a signature loan, you can, you know, do whatever you want, whatever's easier or whatever gives you the best rate, whatever's the most value to you in that moment. And then, yeah, you know, I paid it back, but would I have felt comfortable taking a margin loan if I didn't have that pile of cash value also sitting there that I could. So, yeah, I mean, it just gives you optionality and, and freedom to kind of run your financial scheme the way you want to.
Yeah, another way to say it is you may have not taken a direct loan from your insurance company based off your cash value, but your cash value allowed you to tap into other areas of maybe a better, you got a better rate, better result, and that was only made possible because you had cash. Now, right. I want to go to the next maybe obvious question is, why life insurance versus high yield savings account? Because right now, a high yield savings account pays more than your internal rate of return in your policy right now. Obviously, that's a short term, but there's a lot of people that are like, Caleb, I get it. Why can't I have hundreds of thousands of dollars in a high yield savings account? But you can, by the way. I'm not saying you can't, but why did you choose whole life insurance for the long term versus a high yield savings account that could potentially get you a better interest rate in the short term? I think we all agree long term, whole life insurance, when set up properly, will outperform. But in the short term, in the first couple of years, you actually have more money in a savings account than you would in your cash value.
Yeah. No, and I think, you know, and for some people, you know, maybe a high yield savings account is, you know, the best option they have. Maybe they're, you know, uninsurable for whatever reason. You know, maybe, you know, that's just, it just makes the most sense for them. Why it made sense for me was, I think, a few things. So yeah, I mean, once I kind of established that I needed that cash, then you kind of, you know, that's when you pull out your calculator and you start, you know, kind of figuring out, you know, what's the most efficient, you know, way to you know, accomplish that goal, right? So there was a few things. So one was the, for me, the tax advantage nature of cash value, and that it, you know, once you, you know, if you're putting money into a high yield savings account at 5%, that's throwing off a lot of very high taxable marginal interest on that money. So that wasn't something that I was too keen on. But you know, I think the other reason, this is something that I didn't really realize going into this discussion on life insurance, but I, you know, when I walked into that first meeting with my agent, you know, I had a little bit of life insurance. I had, you know, like a, you know, that my wife and I each had, you know, maybe, you know, $1 million policy or whatever. And I didn't really think about it all that much. I didn't really think about, you know, mortality or death. Well, you know, what I've found is that, you know, kind of going on this road of life insurance has almost been, I not to sound kind of cheesy, but it's almost been a little bit of a spiritual journey too. Just, you know, putting myself in a place, you know, of, you know, what's important to me now and what's going to be important to me in another, you know, 10, 20, 30 years. And so the idea of not only being able to save money in a tax advantaged way, but then seeing that, you know, if I put a dollar in, that's creating 3, 4, 5 times the amount in death benefit that could then go to my wife or my children, that's kind of the dopamine hit that I felt like I needed to really make the program successful. If it was just a place to store cash, I mean, that's all well and good. You know, that's a, you know, I think for a lot of people, it's marginally better, but you know, I do sort of worry. And, you know, when I see online that people just are concerned about, you know, setting up these policies for super high cash value, and they get so tunnel visioned on that cash value accumulation column. I did, you know, for the few weeks when I first started researching it, I got so, you know, myopic on that cash value part. And you know, I don't know if those people are going to have the long-term vision necessarily that I think this product needs and requires. So
I don't have the book to show, but I'm reading a book right now on Marcus Aurelius and his journal entries. And he was, I mean, he's been dead for thousands of years. And it's amazing to me how he talks. He's like known as like one of the Stoic writers. And he talks about death all the time, but not in a way of like being depressing, but almost being like, it's one of the most enlightening things when you know that you're going to die. We are all going to die. And so when you know that, it's just like, why do we worry? Why do we have anxiety? Why do we care what people on YouTube think of us? Why? But then also, it's the ultimate filter of what we should be really focused on. One of the things that I'm hoping to create a movement around is people being the main speaker at their funeral, whether you want to call it a video eulogy or written eulogy. But I just find that if people did that while they're alive, they will be more intentional. Humans, parents, spouses, leaders, they'll maybe be willing to make bigger moves while they're alive.
Yeah.
And because they did an activity that thinks with the end in mind. And the same thing goes with life insurance is like there at the end of the day, we could make an argument that if we strip the death benefit away and you just look at all the other benefits that you get while you're alive, you could make the argument that this is better than a high yield savings account. I think you could make
for
that
sure.
Argument.
Yep.
But I just don't even think we even need to go there if you have an appreciation of I am making a decision today that is in many cases way more than 5xing, 100xing in the beginning, 1000xing in the beginning.
Oh yeah.
And exactly. At the end of your life, like at the end of your life, at if you die at life expectancy, it's a 5, maybe an 8 to 10, 12x of what you put in throughout your life, and it's all going to be passed on. In addition, like that for me is pretty incredible. And I really appreciate it. You mentioned that because we are a lot of times not focused on that because that's not what sells, but I right. want to have more conversations around that because at the end of the day, you're doing the right thing, but I believe you're going to show up more powerfully in your family and in your business by having thinking in the end in mind versus not thinking in the end in mind. Like I think that there's just a energy difference to the person who has got that figured out versus the person that doesn't really want to think about it. There's a quote that's, you know, circulating around the life insurance space. I think I heard it from Todd Langford, and he just said there's no deals in the insurance space. So everything has pros and cons. You can't be saying one thing is the best across the board because you're giving up something else. Now, if you care about cash value more than death benefit, then yeah, you can have a paradigm and there's certain designs, but then there's an art to like, hey, I care about cash value, but I also care about death benefit. How do we create a policy where, you know, in 10, 15, 20, 30 years, there isn't that drop off because we're integrating, we have enough base for the policy to continue to kick off. And for those of you that are curious even what we're talking about, we have plenty of videos on our channel about different designs. I'm going to have a series coming out that talks about different companies and policy designs, pros and cons. And even in the first video that we did, we played devil's advocate of why someone might want a not as optimal design and some of the reasons for that. What percentage of your savings/investments go towards your life insurance initially? I don't assume that it all stays there, but like right now at the time of this recording, the percentage of what you invest long term, what percentage of that is going to the life insurance portion of your portfolio?
Yeah, so you know, right now, you know, probably a majority of my cash flow is going into my pre cash flow is going into my life insurance policy. So, you know, and I'm doing all things. You know, I'm not one of those people that, you know, one of those, you know, infinite bankers that like hates, you know, qualified plans and stuff. You know, I think there's a place for, you know, everything. So, you know, I still do fund my qualified plans. I think that's important. You know, I still, you know, invest in a brokerage account. You know, I'm not anti stock market, obviously.
Yeah.
So, you know, right now I'm probably hovering around that, you know, 70% of my free cash flow going into my policy.
And your goal is though to use that as some people would call bank, but use that as the way that I explain it is you have your emergency fund, and then anything up above that is sometimes like an opportunity or kind of like a investment fund. How much like do you envision using your policy to invest in other deals or businesses?
Absolutely. So 100%. So I mean that is why I am, you know, shoveling that yep. you know, kind of, you know, amount of money into those policies is, yeah, I am setting myself up to, you know, potentially you know, make other business investments, make other, you know, opportunistic investments. You know, I, you know, one of the things I feel, and, you know, people might disagree with me, is that, you know, we've for the last 15 years, we've been on one of the most, you know, mega bull cycles that, you know, with, well, obviously the pandemic, you know, was a little bit of a faltering point, but, you know, regardless, there's going to be an opportunity whenever it is. I don't know when it'll happen, if it's next year, this year, yeah. 5 years from now. And I want to be prepared to, you know, with cash that I can access those opportunities.
Same. I think I remember exactly the moment COVID hit hard, market dropped, you know that it's like, this is an emotional experience. And I had lots of friends that, you know, put money in because they're like betting on America not going away, and they made good money, but they're only able to do that because they had liquidity. And that's an example of, there's hundreds of examples I could give of people having access to money and they able to get a better option than someone off the street because they just were, had money at the right time and had the right connections or opportunity. And so the Money Guy Show, I know that you've watched some of their stuff, and they're great people. I'm a big fan of how they articulate. They have an amazing following on YouTube. This is obviously when you commented, I don't know if you've commented on any of our other videos, but you caught my attention on this comment. What was your thoughts on, number one, their show, but number two, their explanation of infinite banking? Because they have a ton of respect in the industry.
Yeah.
What were your initial thoughts when you heard their video?
Yeah. Well, you know, it was interesting. I do like the Money Guys. I think they definitely get a lot right. And, you know, Dave Ramsey too. I mean, you know, I think his style is a little bit, you know, abrasive sometimes, but you know, I think they get more, they get more right than they get wrong for the most part. When I saw the video come up on infinite banking, I was interested in their perspective on it. I think, I forget which one of them, I think one of them actually used to be a life insurance agent at some point. I think he said that on some of the shows. So I was kind of interested in how they were going to take that topic on, because they'd always been, you know, very much of the typical, you know, sort of personal finance, you know, advice of, you know, stay away. So I thought overall they did a better job on it than most of the time that you'll see, you know, traditional financial experts taking on. I thought that, you know, they laid out the parts of the policy correctly for the most part, as far, you know, that you want to have a policy set up with additional premiums, you want to overfund it. You know, they weren't trying to, you know, basically make this argument against, you know, a full base policy that you often see, you know, Dave Ramsey do and all that kind of stuff. They were setting up the argument in a little bit more of a honest way, I thought. But, you know, they still fell victim to the whole thing of comparing it against investment. So, you know, as soon as they started talking about it, they pulled out their calculators. And if you're talking about this stuff and the first thing you do is reach for your calculator, you're already going down the wrong path.
If you compare it to an investment and you show me a chart of person A versus person B, and person A put their money into whole life insurance and did nothing with it, that has an internal rate of return of 2.5%, and you compare it to an 8% investment, like, I'm okay. Like, I get it. Like, do we want to have a conversation about, like, some maybe different perspectives? Or, because I agree with the math and I agree with your perspective of that. So I always, like, I can write these scripts when I know, like, I know the talking points. And that's why I can't wait to have conversations, because you don't have to agree with me that this is a right or wrong strategy, but it would be amazing to share our perspective and at least gain empathy, because I have tons of empathy for why you wouldn't want to do this. Like, tons. I 100% understand why someone does the FIRE movement. I might not agree with it 100%, but I totally get it. And I understand why someone would do X, Y, and Z. And I understand why someone wouldn't want to do this. And it's not like we're right, they're wrong. But I feel like I've taken the time to, like, really seek first and be like, I understand why someone would put money in a 401k. And other, I might not want to put all my money in a qualified plan, or defer my money to an unknown time at an unknown threshold, whatnot. But I understand why someone would, and I'll also understand why someone would do it, and they would be right based on their scenario. So I think empathy would be, like, my goal. It's not to try to convince and change their mind. It's just create maybe a better scenario so that they actually understand, like, people doing this are not out of their mind. They may be valuing things, like you're saying, maybe higher than they value. But it's not like you're insane, I'm insane. It's a, you value maybe things a little bit different, and because of that, that's why this makes sense.
Well, I think a perfect example of that is, you know, Dave Ramsey, you know, the way that he has his baby step structured is, you know, before, you know, after doing matches and 401ks, all that kind of stuff, he wants you to pay off your house, you know, before you start investing. And, you know, a lot of people look at that and say, that's insane. You know, why would you pay off a 3%, you know, mortgage when your investments could be, you know, making 8 and 10%? It's just bad math. And this is actually, I mean, I disagree with a lot of what Dave Ramsey says, but I get what he's getting at there.
Yeah.
What he's getting at is that people value safety and security, and that, you know, people with a paid off house, you know, for a lot of people, that provides that safety and security that they can then go and be more successful investors and live a happier, more fulfilling life. So I do, like you say, empathy is a great word. I empathize with that. I think, you know, where Dave Ramsey is, you know, gets off the rails is, you know, that's, you can accomplish that and other more efficient ways that gives you control. And, you know, and you don't have to go to a bank to get your money, you know, out of a fully paid off house. So, but
yeah, what does that mean if Dave Ramsey endorsed max funded whole life insurance, 30-year mortgage, using a reverse mortgage to maximize income in retirement, knowing that your death benefit is covering the home ultimately? Like it's you're creating more cash flow in the future because you have permanent life insurance. Like that would be like the day that happens is going to be a scary day. Like I'm going to be worried about his sanity. But like that's what's funny is like, yes, I 100% agree with what you're saying. Is like I have empathy on all of what he's saying, but is when you actually reverse engineer even what he talks about debt, it's like, what is debt? Cash is a form of debt. And so I get what he's saying, the feeling of security, which is valid feeling, right? Like if you feel a certain way, like that's valid. I'm not going to try to convince you to feel differently, but just because you feel that way doesn't mean that's the right. Meaning like a paid off house might not be the most safe thing, but I'm not going to try to convince you otherwise. But that's what we're trying to do, is just create a different perspective so that people are open-minded, can still get those feelings, but might have a better, more efficient way to accomplish that.
Well, that's what, I mean, my first house, you know, I got a 15-year mortgage and I paid it off in 8 years. And, you know, I made that final payment and it felt great for, you know, like a week. Yeah. And then I started, you know, realizing that like, wow, you know, I've got, you know, all this money locked up in this house that I then have to, you know, go ask a bank permission to get access at. And, you know, and that's kind of, you know, what I just see, you know, with just the typical financial advice is that, you know, people have to live their lives. You can't just funnel all of your money into these assets that go up and down all the time. You yep. need to have that base, that you can live your life on.
Yep. Chris, this has been a super enjoyable conversation. Thank you so much for coming on. Is there anything else that you want to leave this conversation with? Anything that you want to say?
Oh, gosh. No, I think, like, I really appreciate Caleb. Yeah, no, like I said, I think I think we touched on all the, you know, the main topics that I'm passionate about. It was great getting to know you a little bit better. You know, maybe, hopefully, we can have another conversation sometime. It was fun.
Anytime you want to come on and jam, please let me know. And then if there's anything that we can do for you, your family, your community, your business, love how you're thinking. We need more people that are not in the space to have conversations like this. And for every time I get a comment that says the only people that ever talk about this are people that know,
send them my way.
I'll send them this video. Like I'm not gonna send them your cell phone number, but I'll send them this video. And but they're actually not wrong. It's true. If you look at, you know, a lot of people talking about it are people that get paid. And so when I look at that comment, instead of me like saying like, oh, they're wrong, it's like, oh, you have a really valid point. Hence why I'm going to be more intentional talking to people like you, because they make a great point, and we're going to do everything we can to be as adaptable and life-giving as possible. So thank you to all the people that comment. With all that said, thank you for subscribing. Over 80% of people that watch our channel don't subscribe. Chris, I don't know if you subscribe to the show, but
oh,
if you don't, okay,
yeah,
good.
Absolutely.
And so I would encourage you to subscribe. Commenting really helps people like see that we exist and gets our videos out to more people. And if you have questions about whole life insurance or want to talk to someone on our team, we have links down below where you can do both. You can schedule a time to talk to someone on our team, and or you can go to our And Asset Vault, and we have a bunch of resources that can help break down policy designs, how loans work, how and the benefits of how life insurance is. And we have lots of different resources there. And so you can go check that out. Chris, I appreciate you. I hope you have an amazing rest of your week and look forward to future conversations.
Yeah, great job, Caleb. Appreciate it. Best of luck.
Thank you so much for listening to the Better Wealth Podcast. It would mean the world to me if you could hit subscribe, leave a review, and share this with the people that you know and love.